It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday, July 21st. From San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood, in for Ben Johnson. There's even more interest than usual in Apple's earnings reports later today. You've got all the usual obsession about iPhone and Mac sales combined with one big question. How's that other Apple gadget doing? Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Last year, during the third quarter, Apple sold 35 million iPhones. This year, analysts predict somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 million. If they're right, says Andrew Erkwitz of Oppenheimer,
this could be the first sign that the flagship Android phones are effectively done.
Erkwitz says Androids that cost about the same as an iPhone, like Samsung's Galaxy S6, aren't selling well. And with Apple going strong,
the smartphone market is going to become very much like the notebook and PC market, and Apple will be the one luxury brand left standing.
But Erkwitz says Apple still needs to sell devices that work with the iPhone and make it harder to leave Apple's ecosystem. Devices like the Apple Watch. James McQuivey is with Forrester Research.
Whenever they sell well, they share numbers. And if they don't share the numbers on Apple Watch, it will only be regarded as a bad sign.
McQuivey says there may be something more important than early sales numbers.
Whether or not there is momentum.
That would be a good indicator, he says, of the watch's prospects next year. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Drone operators got some pretty amazing photos this weekend of a huge wildfire near San Bernardino, California. It dramatically jumped a freeway and burned about 20 cars. Of course, those drones are apparently part of the reason the fire got out of control so fast, because planes filled with water and flame suppressant couldn't fly in while the drones were in the air. In California alone, it's the third time this month that's happened. Lawmakers and firefighters want new regulations and huge fines for people operating drones over fires. But is this a legal problem or a teachable moment? I asked Ryan Kahlo, who researches robotics and cyber law at the University of Washington. He said either way, it's a problem.
It's apparently a big problem. It's not just a problem with firefighters, but people are worried about airplane safety. There's significant concerns about security, including in the U.S. Capitol. It's this classic thing where there's a new technology that people are not a set of norms associated with it. People are not behaving responsibly. And now we're seeing society try to correct that.
And the way that we're correcting it seems sort of equally piecemeal. When you say there are a few laws here and there, maybe a specific ban on flying drones over wildfires. But do you think there's a more comprehensive legal solution?
Well, this is one of those situations where the law is clear enough. So the law says you can't fly it near the White House. You can't fly drones in some of the places that people are looking at, like public, you know, parks, you know, where their firefighters are. I mean, it's much more a problem of norms and education. That is to say, people don't seem to understand what they can and can't do, and people are behaving irresponsibly.
Do you think part of the concern is, or part of the difficulty is enforcement? After all, a drone operator is far away from the actual drone. It might be hard to actually find that person and find them.
Well, sure, right? I mean, for something like speeding, like knowing not to speed, many, many people have had experiences getting pulled over. And so it's a very deeply held, understood idea that you can't speed. People still do it, but it's been internalized. The FAA is not going to be in a position to bust people. They only do so when it's been brought to their attention or there's a particularly egregious issue. And so, yes, a lack of the ability to enforce is part of what's not driving home to Americans that they can't be flying these things.
So at some point, I think we can all agree that the only solution, as with most things, is Twitter shaming.
Twitter shaming really is a panacea for all things. I think at the end of the day, you're right to say that the community itself has to police its norms. And they really do have to get serious with folks who are ruining it for everybody.
Ryan Kahlo, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot for having me.
If you want to find out more information about where you can and cannot fly your drone, visit knowbeforeyoufly.com. And in the meantime, assume that active emergencies are a no-no. Windows 10 comes out July 29th. Usually, a new version of Windows means new PC sales, because everyone knows that if you have a choice between updating Windows on your old PC and a 4-hour root canal, the root canal totally wins. But things could be different this time around. That's good news for you and for Microsoft, but maybe not so great for PC makers. Kyle Weens is co-founder and CEO of the online computer repair website iFixit. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you, I'm not sure anyone can, but maybe you can explain this Windows 10 upgrade and update situation?
Microsoft has decided to make it really easy and cheap for the rest of us. So Windows 10 is coming out at the end of the month, and it's a free update for everybody that has a recent version of Windows.
And it feels like a little bit more of a software model. Microsoft's actually pushing upgrades. Maybe, do you think, at the expense of PC sales?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because people have been asking me, do I need to buy a new computer to run Windows 10? And the answer is absolutely not. Windows 10 is just as fast as the previous version of Windows, which, by the way, as a software engineer, that's hard to do. It's really challenging to keep the same level of performance. So Microsoft has really gone out of their way to make it possible for us to keep our existing computer.
So looking at the PC business for a second, then, you think Windows 10 is going to help sell more PCs? It's been a bad run for them, or do you think it's just going to keep those older ones alive longer?
Well, I think it's going to generate some excitement with people around Windows this summer. Perhaps in the short term, it's not going to drive this upgrade cycle of upgrading a new PC every few years, but I do think it's going to be really good for the PC manufacturers in the long term. This is Microsoft moving to a more sustainable model where they can push software updates out more frequently, and that's going to drive more developers developing for Windows, which has really been a challenge with iOS and Android getting a lot of the excitement around app development recently. Part of the challenge for developers is being able to target a recent version of Windows. So I think this is going to be good for the Windows ecosystem, which means it'll be good for the PC hardware companies.
Kyle, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.